Well, I should say good afternoon and good morning, good evening to any remote participants. I see there's quite a few in the Adobe Connect room. Welcome to the At-Large Technology Task Force. My name is Devanand Tilaksingh, the chair of the At-Large Technology Task Force, along with my two co-chairs, Judith Hellestein and Glenn McKnight. And on behalf of all our Technology Task Force members, welcome. We have quite a lot of things to show that we have been working on. And so we have a packed agenda, and we're starting 5 minutes late. So let's get right into it. And is the slides ready to go? Actually, that's going to be my first question. Yes, people. Yep. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. So next slide, just to go through our agenda. We're going to be looking, just do a brief introduction to the Technology Task Force, some of our activities since the ICANN 52nd meeting at Singapore. We're going to look at the work we've done on the At-Large Summit 2 recommendations, and we're going to get an update about the At-Large website from Laura Bergstein. And we're going to be focusing also on the Lacrallo mailing list translation and some of the implementation challenges facing that system. And also we're going to be discussing the next steps for the At-Large proposals that was submitted as part of our research done by the Technology Task Force on e-books and captioning. Next slide. Also, we want to also discuss outreach to At-Large for recruitment of new members. And just a last-minute agenda item addition was the ICANN's meetings mobile app. So next slide. Let's just go right to the first slide. So the introduction of the Technology Task Force. The Technology Task Force was established in June 2012, and its key goals are to really evaluate technologies currently in use by At-Large or elsewhere in ICANN, and to identify and review other technologies as they become available. And the idea being is to evaluate technologies that could alleviate our communication and collaboration needs that are by At-Large structures and relos. Next slide. Next slide. Yes, okay, so, and just to give a, whoops, one more slide back. Good. So just to give a back, if you could see down the screen here, we have quite a diverse set of members for the Technology Task Force, which is good because the At-Large community is a diverse community. So there's a gap there that we want to discuss later on in the agenda. So next slide. Next slide. Next slide, please. Okay. Okay, I see. Sorry, my apologies. Okay, so just to answer some questions about the Technology Task Force. The task force is by the At-Large community for the At-Large community, and actually, we would probably welcome anyone in the ICANN community to join us. We hold conference calls once a month, and sometimes we have an additional special purpose call to discuss or evaluate a particular service or product. We have various links on this, as you can see on the slide, to where we document our activities. So next slide. So just now to update you all on the activities since our ICANN 52nd Singapore meeting. Next slide. Okay, we've held 3 conference calls, and we discussed with ICANN staff, Chris Gift and Corey Schultz, to discuss various things such as the At-Large 2 Summit recommendations. We also discussed the technology behind the ICANN's remote hubs, and we've also been doing work that we're going to be presenting to you later on in this agenda. Next slide. Okay. Actually, there's probably, is Glenn back in the room? Yes, Glenn is back in the room. Actually, there's one new thing, update that we have done. We have done something called a netizen newsletter that was done first in the Singapore meeting, and it's also been done for this meeting. Would Judith or Glenn wish to talk about it?
This is Judith Hellestein for the record. Yes, so we started in Singapore sort of like what we call netizen newspaper is really technology tips. So in Singapore, we featured certain apps that are out there, data, phone communication plans, little tourist information. So some quickly one pager of different technology tips. And it was popular, so we did it again for Buenos Aires, and we sent it out to different other people within ISOC, and also because they were having a summit here, and also to ALAC and other members, basically covering technology tips and communications and SIM cards and data plans and different other issues on taxis or whatever. And we're looking for to do one for Dublin, and it's basically been, I'm writing it, Glenn's editing it, but we would love to have some others on our team who might be interested. It's a one-pager. We also wanted to thank Eduardo Diaz for volunteering to translate into Spanish. And so if anyone wants to translate into different other language, we're happy to do it. We can send them the Word file, or if they want to contribute and do, it doesn't take that much time to do research on quick tips. So please let us know.
Okay. Thanks, Judith. Okay, so just now to review some of the work we've done regarding the At-Large Summit 2 recommendations. Next slide. Just to give some background here, the At-Large Summit 2 was a meeting where all the At-Large community members gathered in London last year and developed a set of recommendations on the future direction of ICANN. There's a complete Atlas direction declaration, can be found at that link you see on the slide there. And some of those recommendations developed by the at-large community were allocated to the technology task force and some in coordination with other at-large working groups. So we've been tasked with seven recommendations. So we're just going to go through the slides. And I know the slides look like a lot of detail, and I encourage everybody to have the slides. I think it's been posted in the agenda so that you could review them in its entirety. But I'm just going to just go through the slides quickly just to cover the highlights of what we've done between, especially since after Singapore. So next slide. So regarding recommendation 10, which talks about the evolution of language services, one of the research we've done into captioning, a pilot project has been approved by ICANN as part of our submitting a budget request, and that's going to be discussed later on in the agenda. Next slide. And we've also documented how language services already provides interpretation in multiple languages for various at-large calls, and how also it transcribes the audio of working group calls within a week. So that covers recommendation 10 so far. If you go through the recommendations, and then I'll ask the floor for questions after you go through each slide for all of the six recommendations. Okay. Recommendation 11. Next slide. Regarding ICANN must implement a range of services. We noted the work already done for recommendation 10 also applies to this. We also reviewed tools to caption videos on a technology task force call. Next slide. And we've been working with ICANN's IT staff to help implement a new version of the machine translation used for the Lakralo list. And we're going to be covering that in detail on this agenda. Next slide. So we've noted that there's a lot of tools that can be used by at large to communicate with and collaborate in another language. And what we've done, we've put this all on a wiki. And I'll just, next slide. You could see a screenshot of this wiki page there. And what we've done, we've broken it down by platform. So if you're a Mac user, these are some of the various tools you can use. Windows, Linux, if you're using the Apple mobile devices, Android, you can see that it's all the various tools are represented there. Next slide. So one of the things we actually done was the Skype translator preview. And there's a short video that I probably will ask the staff to see if they can load up. So what the Skype translator, and it's coming up on the screen right now. This is Dave. That's a technical glitch in the loading of the video. We're just waiting by on it. While the video is being loaded, just to talk about Skype Translator Preview, it allows for machine interpretation.
Bonjour, Dave. Comment ça va?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm getting ready to go to Argentina to attend the ICANN meeting.
Je vais bien. Je me prépare à aller en Argentine pour assister. Je peux rencontrer.
Ah, j'imagine que tu as donc beaucoup de travail et de préparation.
I guess you have a lot of prep work.
Indeed. I've just been editing the at-large wiki.
En effet, viennent d'éditer le grand wiki.
Ah, parfait. Et ça...
Thanks. This is Dave. This was just a brief excerpt. You could watch the whole 2-minute video. But it shows that you can do it, the Skype Translator Preview does machine translation, interpretation, I should say, in 6 spoken languages, and instant message translation in over 50 languages. It's not perfect, but what you do see on the right-hand side of the Skype chat window, it transcribes your audio and then submits it for interpretation, where a machine then reads it out in the spoken language on either side. This works with any Skype client on the other end. It's not like if both persons require Skype Translator Preview. So,
watch our discussion on the technology test.
Yes, and you can also watch how we tested it with Chinese on our technology task force call earlier this month. It's quite impressive, I must say. It's not perfect, but. So let's look ahead now to recommendation 17. And recommendation 17 talked about how ICANN needs to be sensitive that social media is blocked in certain countries and provide credible alternatives. We've noted past sessions at ICANN, which we talked about alternative mechanisms. And we've also reviewed group chat services such as Slack. Next slide. Just to give a brief idea what Slack is, it's a group chat application where instant messages can be grouped by a hashtag or a channel and what's the benefit of this over, say, Skype, which we currently use for group chat, is that one, messages are searchable across all the different group chats, and it's also could be centrally administered so that the staff could administer it and assign new accounts. It also has mobile apps, so you get push notifications. So it comes off as like instant messaging or SMS on your mobile devices. So it's probably better than email in that regard, which is it's sometimes difficult to use on mobile devices. Next slide. We also looked at cataloging various tools that could be used to circumvent blocking of websites. It was decided not to list them because, we realized that, you know, the use of such tools will be contravening national laws in some countries, and it will ultimately be very difficult for ICANN to even endorse or promote such an approach. So the At-Large Social Media Working Group, which is also working on this recommendation, is researching alternative social media platforms that may have more acceptance than the traditional ones. Next slide. So recommendation 26, and recommendation 26 is a challenging one. It's that it says that ICANN needs to implement a policy management process system available for use across all the different SOs and ACs. And next slide, we came up with some sort of aspirational needs that we want in such a system. We want to find historical information on a policy issue, subscribe to policy updates by interest, track deadlines for responding to policy comments. Next slide. To read policy issues and updates in their language, having that policy review process more accessible to mobile users, and also to reduce the manual duplication to disseminate information. A lot of times what we're doing now in the at-large is that we're copying information back and forth from ICANN.org to the wiki and emailing people manually and so forth. And it's really just a duplication of effort. And we think a policy management process system needs to really cut down on that manual duplication of effort. So next slide. So there's two tracks we are pursuing right now. One is the at-large website redesign that's being developed. And some of its goals of design are to, I think, alleviate some of these issues or answer some of these aspirational needs. Laura will be just speaking briefly on this later on in the agenda. Secondly, the Technology Task Force is going to be looking to trial something called CAVI workspace. This was something that we learned about from Chris Gift in our Technology Task Force call. Actually, I don't know. Chris, do you wish to say a few words as what CAVI does?
This is Chris Gift. Sure, I'll chat about it for a minute. It's not unlike a lot of workspaces like Confluence and some other applications, but it is a central place where working groups can get together. So it does document management, versioning of the documents, membership management, or by that I mean members of the working group. Sorry, I have the French translation on in my... So I'm hearing myself translate into French. And as well as event management, so meetings, and handles obviously all the activity around meeting management. The nice thing about CAVI, though, is that it is a centralized place to do all this, and it provides quite a bit of administrative tools to help the administrative function of managing a working group, which can be a chore for both the chair of the working group or the vice chair of the working group, as well as the support staff. We have been testing it with DMPM and the GNSO, and at large, you guys are going to be testing it, I think, beginning right after Buenos Aires. I'll be perfectly frank. I'll be very anxious to see your results of the tests. The results from the initial proof of concept that we do with the DMPM has been very mixed. We've learned a lot, but we're very uncertain that CAVI is the proper tool. But we're still learning about what could be the proper tool. So again, we're anxiously awaiting you guys to try it as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. This is Dave Anand again. So yeah, I think what's attracting us, according to this feature set, is how it has its built-in notifications, and also how you can issue votes. Right now, again, we have to do manually a voting system using BigPulse, and that's again it's a next manual process. So if this system could help alleviate that sort of manual duplication of effort, it would be helpful. So this is something we'll be doing after BE. Next slide. Just to note also that regarding recommendation 26, we will be also be reviewing the policy development processes at the RIRs. We kind of let this slide a little bit because of all the IANA transition issues. But now that we have a slight breather in there, I've just talked to some persons at LACNIC, and they'll be very welcome to attend a conference call to discuss how they use various tools to how they develop their policies. So that's something that we will also be doing after the Buenos Aires meeting. Next slide. So recommendation 29. To the ELAC should implement an automated system for tracking topics of interest. What we are looking at is to, to look to standardize the reporting of relo activities for easier distribution and sharing on social media. The idea being is that we'll use a template and for the relos to fill out, rather than them having to do a free form that may be complete or incomplete. So if we standardize on that, on the reporting, then it becomes easy to share on social media and syndicate. So that work has been ongoing on that. There's a Google Forms been done. We'll be looking to see how we can make sure that that information can be submitted to the Confluence Wiki. Next slide. We've also been looking at recommendation 31, which is to investigate the use of simple tools to facilitate participation in public comments. We've evaluated Lumio, and we are going to be starting to evaluate other tools that's been mentioned, such as Liquid Feedback, the Kavi Workspace, as we mentioned earlier, Confluence Questions, which is an add-on for the Confluence Wiki. And so those have been detailed on the wiki, wiki there. Next slide. And for recommendation 39, ICANN should encourage open data best practices. This is now being looked at by ICANN in a very preliminary fashion. Actually, Chris, so would you want to say just briefly what you shared with us on the technology task force call, or what ICANN is doing in this regard, or Ashwin?
Thank you. Thanks, first of all, for having us over. I appreciate the opportunity to be back here with the ALEC. Before I start, I wanted to take a moment to introduce a colleague of mine. He's sitting behind us. If you'd just stand up and be recognized. His name is Samuel Sir. Sam came on board as a senior director for applications development and has been paired to work with Chris Gift on a number of these initiatives. So I'm happy to let you know that you will have more support than you previously did. Thank you, Sam. The open data is a best practice, and there are many papers that have been written about what the open data standards could be like, depending on their sphere of application. We are committed to this, and we are starting to pilot this in the areas where we exchange technical information first. That's perhaps the best area to start, because that's machine-to-machine oriented with the open data. So we will pilot it there, and based on that, we will provide feedback. There may be other spheres of application that we are unaware of. As we get better at it ourselves, there may be new places that we can try it out. So that's the current state of where we stand.
Okay, thanks, Ashwin. This is Devanan again. So those were the summary of the six recommendations that we've looked at regarding Atlas II. I guess we have some, you could take some questions or comments. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Nope. No hands up in the remote? Okay. All right, well, that's good. All right, so let's move on to the next item on our agenda. Which is the at-large website update. Laura Bankford is here to share some information about the at-large website redesign. Laura, thanks for coming on this session. Please share your thoughts.
Yes, hi, Dave. Thank you for the invitation to be here today, and I wanted to just share a few updates with you on our current efforts on building out the at-large website, and I believe you wanted me also to provide an update on the accessibility work that we're doing across all of our websites. So I'm not sure if you have the slide up with just a little teaser of what's to come on the at-large website, but just a quick mention, we are going to be going into a little bit more depth tomorrow at the 2:30 session, where Ariel and I will be going through a little demo of what we've done so far on at-large. So with at-large, and back to recommendation 26, there's several tracks that the at-large website is going to be hitting. First and foremost, we've been focusing a lot on the policy work and metrics around that. So what you'll see in the demo tomorrow is what we refer to as the policy band. And what we're going to be able to do is link all of the information directly from ICANN.org, fill in the relevant information coming from at large, such as the pen holder, the various activities of drafting that statement in response to the open public comment, and then providing various views, such as the topical views. So you see there's a slide up there. You'll see a pie chart in the upper right-hand box, and that is a very nice view. We've taken the 315 statements that At Large has issued, either response to public comment or unsolicited advice or various other recommendations, and we've plotted it onto a pie chart. So you'll see up there that there's been 35 statements on Who Is, for example. We'll drill down into this in much greater detail tomorrow, but you can scroll across the pie and get an overall sense of what topics At Large is providing comments back to the open public comment and other areas in the cross community. The second one gives you a little bit of a better feel from a map view, in this case, a regional view of the At Large structures. So for example, we have highlighted Argentina since we're here this week, and you'll see there's 9 At Large structures there, and you can click throughout the map and not only get a sense of what our penetration is across the region for each of these At Large structures, as well as a link out to those various areas, whether they're on the wiki or if they have a website out there as well. And then finally, we also know how important the RALOs are. So we have a nice map view that clicks out to the various RALO wiki spaces or websites, and so you'll get a much greater sense of what the coverage, the global coverage is across the world for At Large. I encourage you all to come and visit us tomorrow at 10:30. Ariel and I have been connected at the hip practically in trying to get all the data over from ICANN.org, but I think you'll really come to enjoy a lot of the elimination of having to retype all of the information on the wiki and just have it right there on the At Large website. I wanted to take a quick moment and just introduce Jeff Salem, who's here to my left. He was brought on very recently as our UX designer, and he's been very involved working with Ariel and I on the user experience and the look and feel for this website. So it's really coming together very nicely, and we're very excited about it. Next slide, please. This is just a quick one-minute update on the accessibility efforts. We met yesterday in the accessibility work group to provide a quick update on where we are with working with our accessibility vendor and the announcement of the vendor that we have chosen going through the RFP, the request for proposal process. So Simply Accessible, just as an introduction, is going to be working with us to align all of our websites to make them more accessible to persons with disability. They are experts in this field, and they are going to be very focused on training us in the community on how to do that. So one of the things that we really liked about Simply Accessible is that they do have this, they're very much advocates for this area, and it will allow us to do a lot of the things like Dave showed earlier, you know, with Skype and some of the tools and technologies that are open data that we'll be able to integrate and work with our web team to make our sites more accessible and also promote this in the overall domain space. And you'll see some of the organizations that they're affiliated with that you're probably aware of. Next slide, final slide, and then back over to you, Dave. Just to give you an overall sense of where this project is going over the summer, we're kicking off in July. We're going to be doing a lot of training and testing and integrating the Simply Accessible team in with our current web team. And they will be kind of an extension of our own team. But by the end of September, we'll go into actual code remediation to make the website accessible and continuous measurement. So built into this program is kind of looking at what our overall grade and score is. I think if you look at some of the tools that give you a score and a rating, ICANN.org is given a grade of C+. And so what we want to really look at is measurement and continuous improvement over the next year so we can improve that grade and scoring. Just a final note, I want to also encourage you to visit our digital services wiki. We've been putting all of our project updates up there. So Chris, Jeff, myself, and our other colleague, Steve Allison, have been trying to do a much better job of communicating what our project statuses are. So for accessibility, please go out there and look. I think it's the far right tab on the community wiki. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Laura. This is Dave Anandia, and thanks for this succinct update. And actually, it's actually great to see some of the work that's been done for the at-large website. I've been involved with the at-large website redesign team with certain other selected at-large members, and I'm actually very impressed with the amount of progress been made. For those who are really interested, should attend the Tuesday session at 12:30. I think. 2:30, sorry. 2:30, my apologies. 2:30 tomorrow, most likely in this room. Okay. Any comments or questions? Anyone in the hands? No? Okay. Okay, well, then let's go to our next item on the agenda, which is the Lacrallo translation challenges that we've been facing. Go back to the other slides. Thanks. Okay, so just to give some background on this Lacrallo mailing list translation, we have two mailing lists, one in English and one in Spanish. So next slide. So what happens? Oh dear. Exactly what happens. There you go. That's why we have a problem. Okay, well, go back to the previous slide then. I had done an illustration of this, but essentially what happens is that emails in English sent to the English list are machine translated via ICANN's. Thanks. I see it's being moved over to the next slide. Thank you there, Ariel. So to go back to it, so emails in English are posted to the English list. It's then machine translated into Spanish and then posted to the Spanish list. It's a similar process that happens with the when somebody's posted to the Spanish list, it gets machine translated and gets posted to the English list. Now, this sounds like this is a great way to implement it, but next slide. What happened with this, there's been several challenges and this is just going to summarize some of the challenges that we have with this current implementation. So next slide. So some of them are seemingly simple ones, like, for example, the attachment in emails sent to one list doesn't get transferred to the other list. So this is what happens when somebody submits a PDF of some document to review, one list doesn't get it. So that's one issue. Another issue, next slide. The missing identifier when an email is sent to the English list gets translated. The identifier that identifies the mailing list doesn't get put in the subject line, and that simply hampers filtering by the Spanish users on the list, and also it makes it difficult to track threaded conversations. But then we have more serious issues. Next slide, and where the subject line of translated emails from Spanish to English becomes garbled. And if you look on the slide there, you see from the first email, it suddenly starts get slightly worse and worse. And when I say worse and worse, next slide, it gets really worse and worse. These are actual emails, by the way. You can click on the links and actually see them. This is what we actually receive on the list. So obviously, you know, it's impossible to find out what the subject line is after a while. Next slide. Also, there's also very unusual characters that appear in the translation. If you look at those two passages, what happens is you start seeing things like superscript and subscript characters. So, and it comes up, it just becomes unintelligible Spanish for anybody reading these emails. So, Next slide. So what was the approach we wanted to do? Next slide. Yeah, right. So we started, we've been working with ICANN to implement a new translation tool. And we created two new lists. You can see the links there, they're public lists. And what we decided on several ways to improve this. One was, what was identified was the key problem was the lack of punctuation. And one of the design goals then we decided was that, okay, if our email has bad punctuation, therefore we don't know when what part of the email that could be sent to translation without mid-phrase, so to speak, we would then reject it. So what happens is that the translation bot will scan the email. If this has little, not enough punctuation, it will reject the email and will send a generic email that's unable to translate your email. And also, what I also suggested was that the subject lines will not be translated, and that way you ensure that the conversation thread will not be lost, and it reduces the chance of garbled subject lines. So next slide. So actually, the new translation tool improves on the current implementation. There's less gibberish in the translation of the subject body. There's still some challenges. One, the generic email is just a little too generic. You know, when it says it rejects your email, you don't know where in the email you went wrong. So it's hard to really, you know, for persons to really improve what they're doing. If you also send multiple emails, you know, you're not going to know which one it applied to. And other challenges right now is that persons cross-post to both the English and Spanish list with the same email. And what happens then is that perfectly good Spanish gets machine translated into, well, less perfect Spanish. And another challenge we've noted is that, you know, it's really difficult to add more languages. You know, we have Portuguese and French in our region. How would we implement this under our existing system? So one of the things I suggested with ICANN's IT staff, next slide, is a new concept. And the new concept was that we have one discussion list, which everyone posts to in their native language. What happens then is that the translation bot takes that email from the discussion list and then posts translated emails to the English and Spanish list. These lists, however, are announcement-only lists, sort of like what the ALAC announce list. You can receive emails, but you cannot post to it. The idea here is that it will be much easier to add other languages to this system. And of course, you know, you can add more languages to this list. And also, there's one single complete record, an accurate record of all the communication. And that's important, especially when you have communication from at-large staff and other important information, such as voting information and so forth. So the concept has been accepted, but really the biggest challenge right now is that this really brings up to the next slide, is that, you know, there's really only one person working on this in ICANN. And, you know, while he's doing, a great effort, it's really, this is something that he's only working in part-time, you know, in his spare time. And he really does not have that much spare time. So I really want to I see some questions, some hands raised here as to how we can move and improve the situation. I see Alan has a hand raised.
Just two questions about two curiosities about the proposed method. Number one, how does the translation software know what language the source is in, unless people declare it? And the second thing is, do replies work properly?
Thanks. Well, again, this is all a concept stage. So we're now trying to figure out these issues, like can we identify the language? I mean, one approach could be if we know who it's coming from. If we identify, it's for myself, if I'm posting, that we know it's translated to Spanish. If it's somebody coming from, say, Juan Rojas, for example, you will translate from Spanish. So that's one approach we could do. And what we're also thinking of is that what could happen when the emails go out to the different language list, we changed the reply to field to go back to the discuss list. So that when people click on reply, when they receive it in their language, it will, the reply to would automatically put it back to the discuss list.
Yeah, thank you. On the latter one, you really need to make sure that you can also reply to the original author, even if it's in the wrong language. Yeah. So just a thought. Anyway, I understand it's just a concept, but those immediately sprung to mind.
Thanks. And again, it's all in really in the concept stage at this point. It's nothing been implemented right now as it is. I see Chris. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Chris Gift. I realize I'm probably tilting at windmills here, but have you thought about switching or testing a more modern form software that will handle a lot of this translation and dialogue? I know there's a love of the inbox, and I realize that email is very useful, but I would think 90% of these problems would go away. Not the quality. That will always remain a problem, but the rest. Just a thought.
Thanks, Chris. This is Dave again. Well, I think, yes, we will be willing to evaluate other solutions to this. I think one challenge is that, you know, email is considered one of the primary methods of communication in terms of when we want to send an official information to ALS and so forth. So there might be that challenges, but we will certainly be willing to look at alternative solutions to this. Okay, so I think Chris, this is Dave again. So I think we will look forward to let's have some dialogue after this meet, after the next technology call, and come up with some ideas of possible solutions that could be used for this. Okay, Ashwin, you want to say something? Okay. All right. Great. This is Dave again. So let me just see how much time we have. Okay, we do have time. Good, we are making good time. Next slide. I think what we are talking about is what the updates from the various projects that were submitted to ICANN and were approved. This is done by both Glenn and Judith. Judith, you want to just talk about this captioning project?
Sure. This is Judith Hellestine for the record. As people know, on the technology task force throughout the year, we've been testing different tools, both for accessibility issues and also for increasing engagement of ICANN, of stakeholders who live in regions either where English is not their native language, and also who have very limited bandwidth. And so we came up at certain calls, we did a real-time captioning pilot. And so one of the things that we put in as a special budget request that we had got funded was to start a pilot to caption up to 3 Adobe Connect, either working groups, regular meetings, ALEC meetings, or webinars a month. And the idea is we want to try to create the necessary metrics to illustrate the need for captioning, not only for accessibility reasons, but also to increase the engagement of people who live in limited bandwidth. We have a lot of new members, especially in at-large, from either in Latin America, countries like Haiti, Nicaragua, where bandwidth costs are extremely expensive, to Pacific Islands, where also costs, and even Africa region. And so how do we increase the engagement of these? Especially tough when some of these countries are not on the ADIGO list either, so they can't even have the call-ins. So how do we get those members engaged and try to figure out ways? And we're looking to see maybe the real-time captioning has the ability to create a separate website, web page of just only text, which then it's a lot smaller bandwidth and could help increase engagement. So there's a whole bunch of different areas. And then also, on our working group calls, we don't often have language translations. So if we have a captioning pilot, some members can read English, can't respond, or they could get the gist of it by using a translation tool. So there's different ways that we thought we could try to increase engagement, and so we're looking forward to testing this in the coming year.
Okay, thanks, Judith. This is Dave again for updating us on the captioning project. The next project that we will also that was also done was something on e-books that Glenn McKnight has done. So, Glenn, you want to just take the floor to explain this?
Yes, thanks, Dev. Glenn McKnight for the transcript. One of the other proposals that we submitted through Norello, which is beneficial for the entire community, is e-books. And this is a great platform that I've had direct experience working with. I will post a link where you can actually download an example of a project I did. But it's a great way for people to access information in a different modality. They can read it on their Kindle or phone or other devices, and we're looking for community, again, engagement, community outreach community. We're looking for areas where we can work within the working group so that we can actually convert the material to an ebook platform.
Thanks, Glenn. Any comments or questions from okay. Thanks, Glenn and Judith. Actually, it's good to see that some of the research that we do is actually turning into actuality. So that's really is good. So next slide, let's go to, and this is probably something that Judith had suggested adding, and this is regarding the outreach to at-large for recruitment. And where is Judith? So Judith, you suggested this agenda item, so perhaps you wanted us to take the floor?
Oh, yes, it's Judith Hellstein for the record. So as I was looking at other areas is that one of the things we're trying to do is trying to, Glenn had done a survey last year of what topics are people interested in covering in the technology task force, and we really want to get your suggestions and advice, and also how we can get increased engagement. We have a lot of people signed up for the tech task force, but when we have a month, half the people who said they signed up are not interested or no longer interested. Is there a topic that you're not interested in, or is it a way to get you more engaged? And so or maybe you're new and to at large and you don't know about about what issues we're covering. And then also, we also want to make a call out to other constituencies whose maybe some individual members of those constituencies are interested, and they're welcome to join our task force. The calls are open to everyone, and you don't necessarily have to be in at large. You can be an individual user who wants to learn more, and you're welcome to join us.
Thanks, Judith. I think I've been talking to persons, and like for example, some members of the GAC are actually very interested in the work we do, and they want us. They said that they couldn't make it to this session due to conflicts, and they wanted to see more information about this. So I think the suggestion of let's have a call for membership to like all the other ACs and SOs are. That could be done. I think so we should make that an action item. I think obviously we have to make sure and work on the messaging for that. Maybe have a one-page PDF of what the technology task force does. So I think that's probably the second action item to capture, that we work on a sort of outreach message for the ACs and SOs for them to join. And then, okay, so we can capture that as an action item. Glenn?
Yeah, the other idea, it's Glenn McKnight for the transcript, is all the new ALSs that are coming in. We'd love to do a webinar on technology. And I know that Jimmy the other day was talking about some of the challenges he had, and that's exactly what we want. We want people who are working on different platforms to test the technology that we're using. So, and again, if you see something that's a great technology that we like to showcase, we'll bring in the people like we did with Captions First, and they did a great demo. So please, any great technology you think that could benefit the communication, let us know.
Thanks, Glenn. But also, actually, I would say it's also open to any view and at large or elsewhere too. If you have any issues regarding technology, you know, just bring it to our attention, and you know, multiple minds can wrap our heads around this. So that's also, you know, please come send us your comments and suggestions. So any comments? Okay. Well, we do have one item on the agenda, and that's something that's that was a late addition, because we literally found out about this just a few days ago, and that's the ICANN's meeting mobile app. So right now there's a pilot program that's being done to test the mobile app for ICANN meetings. Josh is here, and you know, he could share some information about this. Josh.
Great, thank you. Thank you for the invite. This is Josh Balch from the IT department of ICANN. So what we're doing is we're just doing a soft beta test of the mobile app. Basically what it is for meetings, that it has any open and closed posted meetings, basically that are part of the public schedule. And what we're trying to do is really make it, the majority of the staff that are testing it are ICANN staff. We have about 20 community members that were just randomly selected to be able to test it. And essentially what we're trying to do with the mobile app is really make the schedule more accessible, something where you can create your own schedule. We can do more feedback to the community. And yes, we've got it coming up on the screen. So this is a web version of it. So the mobile app right now, what we're launching in this particular beta test is it's not an actual mobile app from like the app stores. However, for Dublin 54, we actually will have it launched in the app stores, and it will be accessible for all of the community. So right now we're really just testing it. We're trying to make sure we don't have any bugs in it, that we have all the features that people are looking for. We tried to give it a very clean look and just get to the essentials. And so if we scroll back up to the top here, the first thing we have is down is the schedule. And so you're able to click on the schedule. You're able to sort through whether what type of track it is. Like right now, you can see the sessions that are on now. So it automatically jumps to the place that's going on right now. So to make it quicker for people to be able to find their meeting. If you notice, you'll be able to see where it says the room. For the actual development of the, or for the actual deployment of this app, when you click on, say that you click on Lackspace and you click on the San Telmo up in the upper right there, Ariel. Perfect. What it will do is that if you click on View on Map, it'll take you to the actual location in the building to help people with wayfinding. You can also see you have the Add to Your Schedule button. You can also take notes and have those notes available to you at the end of the session. You can also communicate with other participants. So as people register and check in for the event on the participants list, they're able to communicate, whether it's email or via the messaging system that it builds in. We also have a sponsors area where all the sponsors that are associated with ICANN, you can go in and get additional information from them. And as well, we'll provide the venue maps that will provide wayfinding. So right now, this is really definitely in the development stage. We've had really positive feedback so far, with definitely some really positive comments, things for improvement too. This is what I honestly would consider this is a cost-effective app. There are definitely a lot more apps out there that have a lot more bells and whistles, if I can use that phrase. But in this case, this was a very cost-effective, but also provided all the features and is tied to the schedule. So the group that we're testing with right now, if we make a meeting schedule change, we can send out alerts to the group, or we can send out alerts to just the specific users that would impact. And so it really has a lot of robust features, especially from the meetings team perspective, that we'd be able to do that. So I think for an overview, that's kind of it. If there's any questions or anything like that.
This is Dave. Are there a question?
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. This is really incredible. So thank you for that. I think we'll all be able to benefit from that. My question is does this come in a translated version at all? Will it have in the 6 UN versions by Dublin?
That is an excellent question. To be honest, it does have different languages. At this point, we are for Dublin, we'll launch only in English. Primarily, that's a logistical issue on ICANN's part because currently the meeting schedule is not translated at this point. And so, any of the meeting names would all still be in English. So, for Dublin, for the first community launch, we definitely want to just keep it in English just to keep it, make sure that we're hitting all of our points. The goal, though, however, is definitely to launch it in multiple languages, at least the primary 6, and possibly adding Portuguese.
Okay, thanks, Josh. This is Dave. Oh, I see a hand here. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Jeff Salem with Digital Services at ICANN. I just had a question about the capabilities. Are you able to attach assets?
Yes, we can. And the way that we're testing that, if Ariel can scroll down a little bit. Sorry, on the left-hand side there, the menu there. Thank you. You'll see something, keep going there, the ICANN 53 newsletter. Yes, so if you click on that, we can add assets to it, and so you can do it. The biggest challenge that we have is making sure that they're mobile-friendly assets in that they're less than, probably 500K. So that's the challenge. We have been reluctant to go to adding all of the presentations from meetings just at this point until we can come up with a better system of managing those just due to the sheer volume. But yes, definitely we can add that in.
Thanks. Any other comments or questions? Well, actually, this is Dave. I have one. Some thinking here. So, is it that we are looking to have something like as a packaged app for the various app stores for mobile phones, or is it going to be a sort of a mobile website type of system?
So it's actually going to be a hybrid. What it will provide is it will have a mobile or a web version like you see here, and then the app store. So it'll be available in all four of the app stores. So you've got Android, Google, iPhone, and one more I can't think of. But yes, it is available. It will be available for all of the different various applications from that standpoint, if that answers your question.
Thanks, this is Dave. And I guess another question, has this been, does this platform that you're using, is it accessible? Would it be accessible using if a person has a voiceover, those type of features?
That's an excellent question. I do not have a good answer for you on that. In the group that we have tested with, so if you have anybody that has that capability, I would love to put it to them and to give it a try. Because it is web-enabled, I believe that it should, as long as the application that they're using is be able to format to that. But we have not specifically tested to that.
Okay, this is Dave. Thanks, Josh. Glenn, you had something to add to this?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've built a number of apps, and I'm looking forward to kicking the tires on this. One of the things I'd like to see, since you mentioned that sponsors are going to be in this, perhaps integrating with the village or events, a QR code so that to compel people to visit those sponsors, because I think a lot of people aren't aware of the benefit of talking to the people at the village, and so possibly some, almost like a scavenger hunt concept like Munsey. So that might be an interesting, fun feature within the tool.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. That's actually a great recommendation. And we can actually point from within the app to external items, meaning that if it's somebody else has something hosted, we're able to point to that directly in a link, so it opens up outside the app.
Okay, thanks, Josh. So any other, I guess we can come now to any other business, any kind of comments or questions or observations? Going once, going twice. Okay, well, I think we've kept it under time there. So I'd like to thank everybody, including the remote participants. I'm seeing quite a few there, so thanks for attending. And I'd like to thank Josh, Laura, Sam, you know, from ICANN staff, who really, thanks so much, and it's a great to work with you. As well, yes, and Krish Gift and Ashwin Ragan for being here earlier. You know, it's really great to work with you all, and we hope to continue working and doing great stuff. So thank you all. This call is now adjourned.